Pray with confidence. How would you describe your prayer life? Do other people, for example, ask you to pray for them or pray for needs that they have in their lives? They would recognize you as somebody who has an expectation that you know how to pray and that things happen when you pray. Do you, in fact, have an anticipation when you pray? How do you visualize God when you pray? When you go to the Lord in prayer, as we've just been singing about, take all of your needs to the Lord in prayer. What does that look like to you? What do you see God as when you do that? And what is the purpose of prayer? Why is it that God tells us to pray continually? Why does he tell us that? And how does God participate in our praying when we actually do what he's told us to do? What's he doing while we do that? How does praying affect you in your life? And this list could go on and on and on. In fact, the list of questions is endless, really. Because you see, most people, anybody, really, believes in the concept of prayer. It's because it's our human makeup, in our human makeup, to pray. People pray in all kinds of ways to all kinds of entities today, just like they have from the beginning. People say they pray. But what is prayer? What does God really think about prayer? That's really the important thing. As Pentecostals, that's who we are. When I use that term, if you're not familiar with it, that's the kind of a church we are. We belong to a group, a Protestant group called Pentecostal. We pray according to what the Bible teaches us about prayer. And there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to put into practice. In fact, when you take the Bible, you'll realize that it's full of prayer from cover to cover. Ever thought of it that way? That the Bible is actually a prayer book? We are given good instructions about prayer, as well as real life examples that we can emulate. Think about the Old Testament, the patriarchs, the people from the oldest times, how they learned to pray, to talk to God, and God communicated with them. Read through the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms in that book you see about the middle of your Bible. And they're prayers. That's really what they are. Think about the prophets, the people that God spoke to, and they then spoke to the people for God. Their lives were just consumed with prayer. And you go into the New Testament and you look at prayer and how it just saturates the whole New Testament. We see Jesus. We see Jesus, who is our great example, the very Son of God, who spent so much time in prayer. We think about the early church, the people that in the book of Acts and in the letters that are that they're being written to, people were always called to prayer. Actually, Paul, who wrote many of those letters, talks about prayer so often. So prayer is in the Bible from cover to cover. You can't escape it. Prayer is in our nature. As just as human beings, we have a desire to pray, though we don't always know how to pray. And so how can you learn to pray more confidently? And what, in fact, if we practice praying all the time? What if we were ready at any moment to pray into any situation we came across? What if we were conditioned to pray first about everything instead of the fifth thing we do or the sixth thing or the tenth thing we do? What if we were conditioned to pray first about everything? And what if we, when we prayed, believed that God, the God that we're praying to, the God of the Bible, that God could do immeasurably more than we could even think to ask or even think to pray? Well, I'll tell you, all of these dynamics are Bible-based essentials of the much more that we have been talking about recently. And in the limited time that I have with you, this morning, I will attempt to whet your appetite. That's my goal, to whet your appetite, to become bolder and more confident in your prayer, to become a prayer as an individual, to interact with God throughout the day in any given situation, any moment, as a family, to pray with confidence together and for one another, and as a church family, to expand and deepen our kingdom impact through bold prayer. At its heart, prayer is faith in action. You can't see God, but you believe that God is real and that he sees you. And that you believe that God has instructed you to pray about everything for some reason. That is, God has told you and me to seek him and ask him for his involvement in everything we do. Faith is prayer in action. Hebrews 11 and 6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him, comes to God, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." That's why prayer is one of the first things that you learn to practice when you become a follower of Jesus. If you remember when you put your faith in Christ, whatever that was, whatever time that was, one of the first things that you were encouraged to do was to begin to pray on a regular basis. Study the Word of God, begin to become familiar with the Bible, and pray. This is fundamental for spiritual growth. It's one of the first things that you learn to know to do. I believe children learn to know God this way. It's what we try to teach our children in our families and in our church family, because it's foundational for all of us. And what you discover when you take prayer seriously is that prayer opens up a whole new dimension to you. It is the realm of the unseen where the real activity of life takes place. So often we are focused only on what we can see. But in fact, what's really going on, we can't see. It's the realm of the unseen. And when we pray, we enter into this new dimension, the realm of the unseen. We can't see God, but we believe he exists, as the scripture tells us to do, in order to have faith, real faith. How do we know that we can believe that God is real? Well, we believe it because we study the Bible. We learn about God by studying the Bible. We digest the Word of God. We meditate on the Word of God. We act on the Word of God. And the more that we do that, the more that we believe that God is who he says he is. Believing in God of the Bible is indispensable for genuine prayer. It's indispensable for prayer. We learn about God. We learn about how to pray in God's Word. It is our textbook, our handbook. We develop our faith through the Word of God. We act on what we know, what we believe, by the Word of God. We're not on our own, but we're given instruction. We pray according to the Word of God. And this is huge for us. We can have confidence when we pray God's own Word in any situation. You may be familiar with the term the promises of God. You've been around. The promises of God are those things that are written in the Bible that apply to us that God said he would do for us. And there are many things. There are hundreds of things that God has promised for us. If we will believe it and act on it, God will do. For example, peace. God has promised peace for every person in this room, everybody in our universe. He's promised peace. And he tells us how we can receive it. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says, don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Literally. If you're worried today, you don't have to. You can take that worry and turn it over to God in prayer. And it tells us that when we pray that way with thanksgiving, when we make our requests known to God without worrying about them, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you want peace, the promise of God is he'll give you peace. He has it available for you through Christ. Direction. Do you want direction in your life? You don't know what to do next. You don't know where to turn. You don't know the decision you should make. The Bible's very clear. There are promises in God's word that tell you that if you will seek the Lord, he will direct you. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't trust in your own abilities. But in everything, acknowledge God and he'll direct your paths. He'll make them straight for you. That's a promise of God. How about the fact that you don't know the answer to something that you're going through, that you're facing today? You don't have a solution for it. And you wish you did. God says, well, you know what you need is wisdom. And guess what? That's a promise of God. Anybody lacks wisdom, all he has to do is ask God. James 1 and 5. And just believe and trust him. He said, I'll give it to you. Promise of God. The Lord's Prayer is an incredible thing to learn how to pray. Some people, that's the only real prayer they know how to pray, maybe by heart. The Lord's Prayer. And it's becoming less and less so because we don't do that in our schools anymore. We don't do that as families much anymore. We don't even do that in our churches much anymore, praying through the Lord's Prayer. But you look at that and you see all the things when you pray through it. You're acknowledging that you need God for your daily bread. You're acknowledging that you need God for his forgiveness for your life. You are acknowledging that you need God to deliver you from the evil one who would try to tempt you. And so let me just say that when you pray God's word, you pray more confidently and more expectantly. And what you also discover is that praying God's word moves you closer to God. And I can't understate this. Or overstated, I should say. I could understate it. I can't overstate the fact that knowing the word of God will help you grow confident in your prayer. And when you pray this way, praying God's word moves you closer to God, because the more that you pray God's word, the more it becomes a part of you. It gets ingrained in us the more we do it, James says in the first chapter, by doing God's word. Our faith gets exercised and developed by activating it. And we experience a renewal in ourselves as we look at things more and more from God's perspective than our own, because we tend to look at everything through our own eyes and try to figure everything out from our vantage point. And prayer elevates our view. And instead of looking at things in a horizontal way all the time, we begin to look vertically and we see that God is the one that we need to look to. And it changes everything. Because then we start to inquire of God, what do you think about this? What's your opinion on this matter? What do you have in store for this? What do you want me to do? And praying God's word also enables us to experience miracles, divine intervention that we wouldn't have otherwise. We enter into a place where we ask God to do the things that he said he would do. And we know he can do them because he said he could do them in his word. And so our faith grows in the word, and we begin to ask God to do things that we wouldn't ask normally. And I believe that every single follower of Christ, from the youngest to the oldest, can learn to pray like this, and should, putting God's word in you into action and refusing to play it safe. You may be out there today and say, that sounds really good, Pastor Dell. I like what you, I don't disagree with anything you say, or maybe I do, but you know, that's all well and good. But life can get complicated. Everything's not clear cut. What about the many things in our lives that aren't so clear? The situations, for example, that are multi-layered and complex. Circumstances that you're going through that seem to suggest there are several options, not all bad. Now, what about those times when the potential incomes may put us or others in jeopardy? What should I do? How should I move forward on this? There are many times that it's difficult to know how to pray into a situation if you're honest. It's natural to feel conflicted with knowing about what to ask God for. I face this dilemma in my life over and over. I've been made aware of something that needs divine intervention without question. But what's the best thing to pray for? What's the very best thing to pray for into that situation? The question is, what does God see that I don't see? How about when circumstances appear to be going in reverse and I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And I'm believing and I'm holding on, but things seem to be still going backwards. What do I do? It's complicated. What about when you have an unbelieving friend or relative who's in a tough situation? How do you pray into that situation for them? What's the best way to pray for them? Just total deliverance without any idea that God has been involved, or to set them free of that? Or are there other things that need to happen? I get confused sometimes at how to pray. Multiple options to choose from that appear to be okay. Well, you see, as Pentecostals, we have a response for this. The Bible again instructs us about how to pray through the fog. The times when things don't seem to be so clear cut. And we need a beacon of light. We need something to give us direction. It's called praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, or better stated, the Holy Spirit praying through us. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit, capital S, that's always the Holy Spirit when it's capital S. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. Wow, there's a lot of stuff in there. Two verses that are absolutely packed, full of potential. I spoke about this 2.5 years ago when I did a series called Breakthrough Prayer. Some of you may remember. A good number of you weren't here then. But in essence, we can pray with confidence even when we don't know what to say or how to say it. For Spirit-filled believers, the Holy Spirit assumes a special role in us by taking our requests to God on our behalf perfectly, according to the will of God. That's what this teaches us. This scripture teaches us a whole lot about Spirit-anointed praying. People who are filled with the Spirit of God and are allowing God to pray through them. It acknowledges that we can feel helpless to intervene the right way, the best way. We don't even know how to pray. We don't even know what to say to God, where to start. But the Holy Spirit steps in for us and joins us in our groaning, in our inability to even express how to pray. Groaning. Have you ever groaned? How many here have never groaned? Okay, one guy's never groaned. Well, we'll tune him in later on and tell him about groaning. But groaning, obviously, we do when we're just really overwhelmed and we don't even know how to express how we feel. It's interesting that this language is used in talking about the Holy Spirit praying through us with groans. I like that. A sign of frustration, in a way, a sign of resignation on our part. But we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit to pray through us in a language that we don't understand. When He's groaning through us, we don't know what He's groaning. And even sometimes He prays through us, and not in words that we understand. We can't even express ourselves, but they're from God. But the great thing is that this prayer is perfect prayer, because God the Father, completely understands the mind and the language of the Holy Spirit who's praying through us. That's because he's God. So God, the Holy Spirit, is in us praying to God the Father. Both of them are God. Both of them understand and can communicate with each other perfectly. Both of them know what's best. Both of them know what the will of God is because they are God. And in Jesus' name, in the authority that we have, we go and we pray. As followers of Christ, we have this access, this work going on in us. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God. Even in our imperfection as human beings, the Holy Spirit prays perfectly when we allow him to, when we surrender to him. Praying in the Spirit like this gives confidence to your praying. It helps you to know that you are doing precisely what you should do. And when you're facing times when you're asked an impossible task, you're asked to do something and you don't know where to start, you can have confidence even then. Because now you realize that you're praying beyond what you would typically ask or imagine. Ephesians 3 verse 20, I love that verse. It reminds us that the God that we're praying to is able to do immeasurably more than we could even ask or imagine. How? According to his power at work in us, the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. That's amazing. Remember to keep this in mind when you go to the Lord in prayer with everything. Surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit again and again and again. Lord, pray through me. Pray through me. We should do this always. The Bible tells us, Ephesians 6:18, it says, and pray in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Praying in the Spirit is what we are to do all the time. And that makes sense. Because we can all the time pray in the Spirit. There's not a situation that we're in that we can't acknowledge that God is at work in us. And we can turn a situation over even though we don't speak words. For whenever we pray this way, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we activate the Holy Spirit through us. That's why I find myself often throughout the course of a given day saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill me afresh as I go into this meeting. Fill me afresh as I begin to study. Prepare me, Holy Spirit, with your presence. Fill me afresh as I begin to pray now into this situation. This scripture, it tells us that we are to pay particular attention to praying for one another as followers of Christ. Sometimes you'll be made aware of the needs in other people's lives, like we have been this morning already, as we brought requests to the Lord in our wherever we are, in whatever situation, we're made aware of needs. But many times we're not even aware of specific needs. And yet we still are able to pray into people's lives through the Holy Spirit, who knows exactly what's needed. Have you ever seen somebody and you realize things just weren't going well for them some way? They didn't really say anything. They hadn't spoken about it. But you could tell, you sensed something wasn't right. Pray in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can pray through you into that situation. You can be someone who is engaged there, even though you don't know exactly what's going on. I always ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come as I prepare to pray for people who respond to the altar and need special prayer. I'll tell you, that's a big deal. Praying for people when they bring a need and they want you to pray for them, that's a big deal that I don't feel qualified for. So I say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Help me to pray into this person's life. Help me to be used of you as the channel of your blessing. Every occasion when I'm asked to pray, I just say, Lord, I'm totally dependent upon you to pray through me here. I regularly find myself prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray someone out of the blue. Have you ever that ever happened to you? And I use that term out of the blue in air quotation marks. I hate those, but people don't really like them. But, you know, out of the blue, because it's not out of the blue. When you're walking in the Holy Spirit, when you're full of the Spirit of God, nothing's out of the blue. God will continue to bring things into your life that you hadn't thought of before. Why is that person on my heart right now? I don't know why that person's come to my mind. And the more that you're immersed in this prayer life of praying in the Spirit, the more you are apt to respond immediately and bring that person to the Lord in prayer. Just say, Lord, I bring that person to you. I don't know what's going on in their life right now, but I bring them to you right now. I pray for them. The Holy Spirit will pray through me. Many times I pray words that I know. Other times the Holy Spirit will take over and I begin to pray in a language that I haven't learned. I don't know. Praying in the Spirit is simply, Paul the Apostle called it wrestling in prayer. Wrestling in prayer. Coming to God in prayer. Allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through me. He said, I don't know. There are so many times. Paul, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-anointed, Pentecostal through and through, said in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But my mind is unfruitful. In other words, I don't know what I'm saying. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit and I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. This particular scripture is part of a passage about the use of tongues in private and public worship, as well as the gift of the interpretation of tongues and prophecy in public worship. You'll see those chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. But Paul is saying in the middle of all of that, as a spirit-filled believer, when you pray or sing in the Spirit, you don't understand what you're saying. But the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. And as such, you are speaking directly to God. Directly to God. Paul says here that he prays and sings both ways, in his native language and the spirit, and also in the spiritual language that the Holy Spirit gives. And I do the same. I am assisted either way by the Holy Spirit somewhat interchangeably. Now, if you're new to Pentecostal, you may find this odd. And let me be honest with you. It is. It is odd. Compared to what you may be used to, what we're used to. However, it's another part of what we refer to as spirit-filled living. It's about operating in an enlarged dimension of the realm of the unseen where the real action is happening. And I do believe that a lot of Christians are unaware of this reality and stick mainly on the surface of things, what they see, what they can manage, what they can control, and never go deep in spiritual understanding and engagement. As such, many people who would call themselves Christians, for example, pray what I would term polite prayers. Prayers that are solid and sound, but safe. That as opposed to what I would call proactive prayer. Prayer that penetrates into the spiritual realm where the real battle is being fought. Here's how Paul the Apostle describes it in Ephesians chapter 6. That's a great chapter. I encourage you to look it over in preparation for this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, just read three verses beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against human beings, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is what we begin to understand the deeper we go in prayer. confidence and boldness, and prayer is Spirit-anointed prayer. And we enter into a dimension that is unseen by the human eye, but where absolutely everything happens before it takes shape physically. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual eyes to us to see into that realm when we pray in the Spirit. As such, insights and revelations are given to us when further action is required. And assurance and peace are given to us when we don't yet see the final outcome. Our role is simply to be available to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit's work. And I can assure you that the more that you pray in the Spirit this way, the more confident you will become in prayer. Because you realize more and more that it is not all on you. It's all on God. So you lean into God deeper and you invite the Holy Spirit to fill you and use you. And it's by going into that deeper dimension with God that you experience the greater things that Jesus said his followers would experience in his name. God would be glorified as these things would happen. So how does all of this relate to us today? Well, as individuals, we can pray expectantly. We can know and believe that the Holy Spirit in us will direct our prayers. And we can also believe that the outcome of that prayer isn't up to us, it's up to God, that it's all now in God's hands. Therefore, I can rest in that. I can have peace regardless of the circumstances. And I can make myself ready at any moment to engage with God in what he's up to, what he asked me to do. I can ask the Holy Spirit any time to help me to pray, and he will. And as such, the potential is unlimited because God is unlimited. As individuals, we need to learn how to practice that throughout every day, every single day, every moment, to learn to live in that way, acknowledging the Lord. And as a church family, I believe we have the direct access to God at all times. And we pray on many different occasions together. Sunday mornings, obviously, we pray in different ways throughout the service. We have a time set aside once each month on a Sunday evening called Deep Roots that we pray. We ask God to do incredible things and to be glorified through it. We come and we ask God in faith. I mentioned connecting point one, our small group time. As we gather each week, our groups talk about needs that we carry and we bring them to the Lord in prayer. It's part of our growing together. We teach our youth how to pray. We teach our children how to pray. We have an intercessors team that feels a special calling to pray throughout the week, throughout the day, on behalf of needs that you and I have, that we make known to them. And they just go to God and they take it into this realm. And many other opportunities and situations, we pray together because we believe we have access to God at all times. We also pray for one another to experience God's provision and fullness and to pray for God's divine protection upon us. That's what the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 told us to do, pray for one another. Pray for one another. We can also pray for our spiritual leaders for boldness to proclaim God's truth in every situation. We can pray for God to open opportunities, doors of opportunity for kingdom ministry. And we can pray for the people all around us in a deep way that goes below the surface and gets to the spiritual root of things. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can even ask God to demolish strongholds that have been set up in people's minds that are preventing them from knowing God, growing in God. So this morning, I want to encourage you. I hope I've whet your appetite. Knowing that when we pray together, we're not praying alone, but we are praying under the authority of Christ. And when we pray on our own, wherever we are, that we are a child of God, have been given this privilege to ask whatever we will in Jesus' name. But it's not all on us that we can ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit and pray through us. One of the neat things about all this is we can never ask God too much. You can ask me too much. You can ask me to do stuff that is not humanly possible for me to do. And you keep asking, and I can't do it. All of it. Some of it, not all of it. We're all limited in some way. God is unlimited in every way. And the more you pray in the Spirit, the more you lean into that, the more confident you become that nothing is impossible. And then we can believe that God can do and will do even greater things. And so, this morning, I hope these songs have been ringing in your head today that we've been singing about prayer. And I hope that this message on prayer will help you to understand that you can pray with confidence and that you will benefit personally when you do, when you become a confident prayer in the Spirit, but that others will be impacted as well. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this incredible opportunity we have to gather together like this. I thank you for everyone who's been listening to these words, who has a desire to know you in a deeper way and to be used of you for your kingdom's sake. We've been praying for needs, Lord, in a variety of ways. And God, we're going to keep doing that. Even the perseverance to keep on praying comes from you. And I pray that every person here today, Lord, will have a renewed sense of the potential of prayer. And I pray that all of us, oh God, will ask you more and more and more to fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can be used by you to pray into every situation, in any way, at any time, at a moment's notice, that we're ready. I pray that now, Lord, for those that are hungry for more of you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill every life here this morning. Everyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus, Lord, I pray that there would be desire for more of you. Not just more in their life so that they can be blessed, and it is a blessing for sure to have more of you, but more of you to be able to be used to touch the lives of others, to be used of you to see people's lives being transformed. So, Lord, I just pray that every person here today has a hunger for more of you. You'll take them at their word, you would hear the request, and then that you will continually to fill them and use them. And as they go home today, and as they live out the week, I pray that there will be more opportunities that they will see that you are ready to be included, that you are right there, ready to give whatever's needed, the right way, at the right time, and even more. Not just enough, but more than enough, Lord. That's who you are. So I pray that into every life here today, that each one will have a hunger and a thirst for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.